All right, I'm going to call this meeting of the TRPA Governing Board to order. Good morning. The date is Wednesday, April 27, 2022. It is 11:17 a.m. And the first item on the agenda is roll call to determine quorum. Maria?
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mr. Bruce?
Here.
Mr. Anderson?
Here.
Ms. Conrad Seda?
Here.
Ms. Faustinos?
Here.
Mr. Bass?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson? Mr. Hicks? Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Honigman?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novacell?
Here.
Mr. Rice? Ms. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thanks. I'll go over the meeting rules for the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov, select April 27, 2022, Governing Board meeting on the calendar, and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in the Governing Board meeting with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To board members, if you wish to speak, you can also now raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. A reminder that board members should use only the chat box to indicate any comments, or should not use the chat box to indicate any comments or have any sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise, and so that all members are able to turn on their cameras. At this point in time, you can all turn on your cameras. If board members are able and have not already done so, the cameras are on. I'm being repetitive here. Finally, we have an item up for approval under agenda item 8A, so please ensure to remain that you're available here this afternoon. At this point in time, I'd like to go to Pledge of Allegiance. Is Catherine here for the Pledge of Allegiance, or if she's not, maybe John Marshall or Maria can lead us in that?
I am here, Mr. Chair.
Thanks.
If you'd like me to.
Yep, please.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one
nation under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. Thanks so much. We'll move to item number 3, and that is the approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, Joanne, to the agenda?
There are no changes, Mr. Chair.
Great. Then we will deem it approved as posted. Item number 4, approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes this month from March 23rd, 2022, and that's on page 37 of your packets. Are there any questions, comments, or changes to the minutes? I don't see any. I don't hear any.
Mark, I had a few.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
The corrections that I've given to Maria.
Oh, excellent.
If no one has any other additional changes, I will make a motion to approve the minutes of the Governing Board meeting of March 23rd, 2022, as amended.
Great. We have a motion. Do we have any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman,
in favor? Yes.
Scott Anderson.
Yes.
I also gave a few changes to Maria.
Okay.
And it won't change the the motion, but I did want to make sure that I was on record that I give some to her.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Scott. Really appreciate that. Anybody else? Hearing none, seeing none. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any
aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, we're moving on to item number 5, the consent calendar. There are 5 items on consent, 3 of which are reviewed by Operations and Governance Committee, 1 that was reviewed by the Lead Committee, and 1 that was reviewed by no committee. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in Zoom to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. Shelley, with respect to the items involving operations and governance, that would be the summary on the March financials and the Washoe County water quality interest and operations and maintenance mitigation funds releases. Are you able to give us that summary?
Sure. The Operations and Governance Committee recommends approval of items 1, 2, and 3. With respect to the March financials, I think it's worthy to note that permitting activity and current planning remains very strong, and all expenditures are within budget.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Shelley. Appreciate that. Does anybody have any question about those 2 consent items? Okay, or 3, sorry. Seeing none, the next item was legal committee. John, would you please summarize the resolution of enforcement action for Shan Woldridge, Specialty Boat Rentals, LLC, unauthorized mooring of a watercraft rental concession in Lake Tahoe?
Yes, this was for unauthorized mooring off of Reagan Beach. In South Shore. The committee heard from staff and from Mr. Woolridge and unanimously recommended to the governing board approval of the resolution of enforcement.
Great. Thank you, John. Does anybody have any questions or comments regarding that consent item? And I'm having to scan on Zoom because it's tough to see everybody at one time, but yeah, I don't see any hands. I don't hear anybody. On that. So I don't think there's any further questions on that one. And then the final item, the 5th item, is the APC membership reappointment for the Placer County lay member, Kevin Drake. Information on this item can be found on page 115 of your packets. Are there any questions or comments from board members on this consent item? So please speak up. I don't hear any. And so at this point in time, we'll go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone. You'll be called upon and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. I'll hand that over now to Catherine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. We will close public comment on consent. And at this point in time, I will entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I move approval of the consent calendar.
Great, thanks. We have a motion. Any questions? Any comments? Not seeing any. I will pass it over to Maria for a roll call.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Ms. Conrad Seda?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Bass?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, motion passes.
Great. Thanks so much, Mari. I appreciate that. Before we move on to the next agenda item, we need to actually
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Chair,
I would move that we adjourn as TRPA and convene as TMPO.
Excellent. We have a motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. That brings us to agenda item number 6 as the TMPO. There are two items on the on consent, both of which were reviewed by Operations and Governance Committee. As a reminder to the public, after board discussion on this matter, you may raise your hand in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. Shelley, may we please have a summary of amendment number 6 to the Tahoe Metropolitan Planning Organization 2021 Federal Transportation Improvement Program and amendment number 3 of the FY 2022 Lake Tahoe Transportation Overall Work Program from your Operations and Governance Committee meeting this morning?
Absolutely. The Operations and Governance Committee recommends approval of item number 1, which includes the updating of the scope of one existing project and the addition of two others, one of which will include the construction of a transit mobility hub with 250 parking spaces near the intersection of SR 28 and US 50, which is an exciting prospect of having that that hub located in that area. The committee also recommends approval of item number 2, which includes the addition of some FHWA funds and a reduction in some FTA funds. This item also included a minor reduction to our approved indirect cost rate from 62.46% to 57.76%.
Very good. Thanks so much, Shelley. Appreciate that. Are there any questions or comments from the board members on these two items for consent on TMPO? Okay. At this point in time, we'll go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Catherine, will you please let me know if there's any public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. At this point in time, I'll entertain a motion to approve the TMPO consent calendar.
I'll move approval of the TMPO consent calendar.
Excellent. We have a motion. Any questions or comments? I'm not seeing any. So all in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Before we move on to the next agenda item, we need a motion to adjourn as the TMPO and reconvene as the TRPA. Do I have a motion?
Chair, I'm moved that we adjourn as the TMPO and reconvene as the TRPA.
Thank you. We have a motion. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. That brings us to agenda item number 7 as the TRPA. 7A is the briefing on the Tahoe Prosperity Center and Vision Tahoe report. Information on this item can be found on page 145. As a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the Zoom webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. At this point in time, I'd like to pass the meeting off to Joanne Marchetta, who will introduce Heidi Hill-Drum and Bill Mueller to present this item. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a short introduction. The Tahoe Prosperity Center is the economic development organization, regional organization for the basin. They've been doing some excellent work on the Envision Tahoe update, which is an economic recovery study for the Tahoe region. And so I will turn this over to Heidi and Bill Mueller, the contractor, to really give you an overview of some extremely interesting things that we have learned about the dynamics of the Tahoe Basin right now. So Heidi, can I toss this to you?
Thank you, Joanne, and thank you, governing board members, for providing us the opportunity to share some of our most recent community and economic development work with you. For the record, I'm Heidi Hildrum, and I am the CEO of the Tahoe Prosperity Center. Again, honored to be presenting to you some of our work today. Joanne introduced us, we are the Regional Community and Economic Development Organization in Lake Tahoe. We work on issues such as affordable housing, better broadband, the alert fire cameras. And during the pandemic, we applied for a grant to do an economic resiliency strategy and recovery strategy. And that is what we will be sharing with you today. It is called Envision Tahoe, but many of you are familiar with the original Lake Tahoe Basin Prosperity Plan, and we're sort of calling this Prosperity Plan 2.0 internally. So on the next slide, it will tell you a little bit about this specific Envision Tahoe effort. This is, again, it's a year-long initiative. It was funded by the U.S. Economic Development Administration. It is a grant that many of our communities around the country also received from the federal government through the USEDA. After the pandemic, a lot of economies were sort of within that wake-up call of, oh, wow, the pandemic really hit our businesses and our workers incredibly hard, especially in tourism-dominant economies. So a quick fact for those of you who may not be familiar, Lake Tahoe is made up of 62% tourism as part of our regional economy. A decade ago, that was only 42%. So we were a little more balanced a decade or so ago, and we've gone in the wrong direction. But thankfully, we have a wonderful Catalyst Committee. It's a regional representative committee led by Supervisor Cindy Gustafson as our government representative, and Chris McNamara is our private business representative. He's got some great local businesses in the South Shore. So again, encouraging that type of development in the future. So the pandemic was the first warning sign, but the Caldor fire was the second warning sign. So much like you go to the doctor, if you've got a couple of things that are bugging you, we are looking at these warning signs as a means to push our effort to look at our regional economy with a more strategic lens and a longer term perspective so that we are not so dependent on tourism. Hopefully we can go more in balance. Now, we recognize we will always be a tourism economy, and the next presentation after ours today is going to be looking at that sustainable recreation and tourism management. But from our perspective, we really need to look at growth in these other sectors. So the next slide, please. As you all know, as governing board members of the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, you are the regulatory authority in the region, and your policies do impact our regional economy, our regional community, and clearly our regional environment. The Tahoe Prosperity Center is a triple bottom line organization, so we take into account the environment, the community, and the economy when we're proposing solutions. But we do know that we need to be thinking about longer term strategies so that in another decade, we're not 72% dependent on tourism. And that's what this Envision Tahoe effort is all about. So we hope to continue to balance that tourism economy as we move forward towards expanding opportunities for better jobs, year-round positions, higher wage jobs. Our tourism economy, as you know, is primarily made up of low-wage seasonal workers. And if we can connect the dots to ensure our tourism economy remains strong while expanding opportunities in these other sectors that make up our regional economy, health and wellness and environmental innovation, then we think we have a long-term strategy that will benefit our community, our local residents, and our businesses as we look long-term to prioritize those efforts. Secondarily, it's important to connect the dots with the investment priorities that we know are coming from both the states of California and Nevada, as well as our federal partners. So our strategies specific to this final report will be connecting the dots to investment priorities. Much like the TRPA has led the effort on the Environmental Improvement Program and connecting the dots with the federal investment on those strategies, we need to do the same on a regional economic vision. So that's our hope as we move forward. And next slide, please. And thank you to whoever is moving those for me. I appreciate it. So I'm happy to introduce Bill Mueller. He is a partner with Integrated Communication Strategies. We conducted an RFP process at the very beginning of this. We had three outstanding, stellar consultant firms that applied to help us through this strategy, but Bill and his team were the winning our consultant team, and we've been thrilled to have them helping us with this effort moving forward. So I'm happy to pass the mic over to Bill Mueller, who will take over for me and get into some of the details and the data on this effort.
Great. Thank you, Heidi, and good morning, everyone. As you can see, we focused in our first few months talking with groups of stakeholders in Tahoe and Truckee, developing a research plan, recruiting a cross-sector group of respected leaders to guide and provide input into the Envision Tahoe effort. That includes our two co-chairs, Supervisor Cindy Gustafson and Tahoe businessman Chris McNamara that Heidi referenced, representing the important public-private partnership that needs to exist for an effort like this. So we've been conducting research, which we'll share with you today. We're also focused now on developing a set of economic recovery and resilience strategies that match Tahoe, and along with activation plans to bring them to life. As with any good sort of effort like this planning process, we also are including regular performance reporting to ensure accountability. So we will be producing this sort of third and final report on Tahoe's economy coming up at the end of May, early June, and we look forward to sharing that with you when it comes out. We'll be sort of revealing aspects of it in the presentation to come. So next slide. So we have talked to many stakeholders. We have also polled residents in the Tahoe region. We've conducted extensive research that's been done over the last 10 years, as well as our own unique research working with the team at TPC. And our key takeaways so far are that Caldor in COVID-19 really helped make the case for resiliency and economic diversification. You might be curious as to why we're emphasizing economic diversification. When it came to COVID, the job sector, the industry sector that was hit hardest out of all sectors was the visitor-based economy. It is because it is fueled by discretionary funding. It was impacted by health orders and travel limitations, and heavy visitor-based economies are only now recovering. So when you have so much economic activity happening in one area and it being quite vulnerable to economic shocks, as well as natural disasters, the influence of climate change and other things, it makes sense to be thinking about how you could spread risk. Hence the focus on resiliency and making sure that we have a strong tourist-based economy in Tahoe, one that is sustainable, but also an economy that has additional features like health and wellness and environmental innovation that we see very promising opportunities for growth that, again, fits in the Tahoe operating environment, both ecologically as well as economically. Housing, not surprisingly, is the number one issue. We know that you know that. What we're bringing to the table is that we've looked at it through an economic lens, and workforce housing, which we'll get to a little bit later in our presentation, is the number one issue that is influencing the economic health of the Tahoe area. We also know that Tahoe is a unique place that is governed by multiple governments, split by two states, five counties, 18 communities, one city, and it definitely makes strategy efforts across the basin that much harder. And that's why groups like TRPA, like the Tahoe Prosperity Center and other regional groups, they are critical for bringing people together to create sort of platforms for change. We do know that even though we are approaching our research and our engagement of communities at a regional scale, that they're going to be carried out at a community level, like all good plans should. So those are our key takeaways. Next up, we'd like to share with you some new data, which is, I believe, available to you in your packets and also available at the Tahoe Prosperity Center website. Next slide. So the first thing that I just want to underscore again, in qualitative research, in quantitative research, housing is the number one issue. We know you know this. What we're bringing to the table is looking through the issue of housing from a economic health standpoint, and it is very, very clear by all measures that housing is the number one issue that is impacting the long-term health and viability of Tahoe's economy. And that should be very concerning for us all. Our ultimate report will have some ideas and suggestions that we're working closely with the TRPA management team on that we'll share with you a little bit later on. What is underscoring that on the next slide is the fact that Tahoe's population is increasing. So for 20 years, there was a steady to flat decline in Tahoe's population. And what we've seen is interesting to us, pre-COVID, a little bit of a rise in population, according to census figures in 2018. In 2019, and then in 2020, it really took off. Over 3,000 people now call Tahoe home. We're very curious about whether this trend is continuing or tabling. There's lots of anecdotal evidence that due to the Caldora fire, that some Bay Area migrants turned around and headed back. And there's also evidence that we might be seeing additional people join. We're looking at school enrollment information, and there's some very, frankly, troubling data there that we're seeing that to us are indicators that families are having a very difficult time in making Tahoe home. Next up. So underscoring this is the steady climb in Tahoe median home prices. So in January, it was $950,000. This is now higher as of today. This was the pre-escalation of inflation and other costs. What's important to note here is that we have compared the Tahoe Basin's median home price against the surrounding counties, which are high growth counties. And Tahoe's pace of of home price increase is outpacing the surrounding area. Next up. This becomes incredibly important when you want to create a resilient, family-friendly economy when you look at the median wage in Tahoe. According to the 2020 census, it is $53,000 a year. We broke up the median income into three segments. At the lower end of the earning scale, you see positions that are typical of a visitor-based economy. They tend to be low wages. In the middle section, you can see some evidence of more middle-skill professional positions, government positions as well, with the median wage being $53,000, and then more professional skills at the higher level. What makes this so difficult and so troubling is that when we did the calculation in January to determine whether there were any homes that a median wage, either single earner or dual earner household could afford, we found zero homes in January available on any home offering website to either purchase or to rent. And this is definitely underscoring the challenge that we face in workforce housing as well as housing in general. Next up. So one of the things that was incredibly important to Heidi, the team at TPC, as well as our 30-member steering committee, was not only to be driven by data and evidence, but also to be informed by local resident input. And so we created a very large, what we believe to be one of the largest, if not the largest, sample of resident opinion ever to be conducted in the Tahoe Basin. Close to 18,000 respondents over a three-week period. We had 99% completion. We conducted the survey both in English and in Spanish. Important to know about this particular sample, it has a higher proportion of working age respondents. It tends towards more women respondents than the population holds. Importantly, it includes both voters and non-voters. And also important to know is that we intentionally created a sample that roughly hugged the population proportions of the Tahoe Basin so that it was equally weighted, whether it was North Shore or South Shore, to how the population shows up. And we also made sure to have our responses across different demographic groups as well. So
1,800, Bill, not 18,000.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just was clarifying for everyone
there. 1,800 responses. Thank you, Heidi, for the correction. So what did people say? So on the next slide, we ask sort of an entry level question. So is the basin on the right track or on the wrong track? And 63% of respondents said that the Tahoe Basin was on the wrong track. Now, when we broke this question down by sex, by age, by other sort of measures, North Shore, South Shore, it was cohesive. There was no discernible difference. This was a very consistent result. What is important to know, however, is that people are pretty fed up. I don't have to tell you. And so when we compared this result to other national surveys, it was very consistent. Most people are feeling as though with inflation, with the challenges confronting the country, with issues locally, that they're just frankly unhappy. So this is interesting, and we wanted to dig deeper. So we began to ask another set of questions. So on the next slide, we asked them essentially, are you able to live in reasonable comfort in the Tahoe Basin? And over three quarters of respondents said yes, that they have a job, that they have a place to live, and you know, things are pretty good. But 24%, just about a quarter, said that they struggle to make ends meet. And when we ask that question, they're working two jobs, that they're having difficulty affording their home. And that for some segment of this sample, they're thinking about moving away. Now, what's important to know is that there was a high number of people in this 1800 sample that were actually homeowners. So we think that influenced the result, and it sort of tells us two things. One is that that housing is a very big challenge, not only for those that don't have homes, but also for those that live in the basin and recognize that even as they have their own homes, that they know that others are struggling. Next slide. We asked them what makes Tahoe a great place to live, and it was the mountain living that came out on top. It was the lake's natural beauty, 75%, the mountain outdoor, 61%. The access to other sort of recreational opportunities. The following responses didn't get over 50%, but still are notable. A sense of community, 41%. A commitment to solving problems, 28%. Having quality education, 27%. So it's very clear why people value Tahoe. What they like and enjoy about living here. Next up, next slide. We asked them, what are the threats to Tahoe? What are the things that are challenging us? And again, showing up in still another way, 73%, the top response said a lack of stable housing for workers was the number one issue. They cited traffic congestion and a lack of transportation options as number two, and wildfires and smoke as number three. I'll remind you again, this is 5 months after the effects of the Caldor fire. So this was not during the fire. This was still a lingering concern that everybody continues to have. It didn't make it over 50%, or rather, just close to 50%, but too many vacation rentals, second homes was cited. Disrespectful attitudes of tourists, 42%. Lack of economic diversity or over-reliance on tourism got 31% of the vote. We asked about other things, and you can see the list below. I'll not read those, but there were other worries on people's mind, everything from the declining snowpack to a lack of available social services in the basin. Next up. So then we asked for the sort of things that sort of turning them into problem solvers. What is it that residents felt we should be focusing on? And 79% responded, we should expand economical housing opportunities. Second up was, we should consider charging tourists fees of some sort, where the resulting revenues would help defray the cost of environmental cleanup, reduce congestion, or just make our communities better. So this was a very general question. It came up through our focus groups as a top-rated issue that people wanted to know more about. So while it's not specific to us, it was very eye-opening. Developing more transportation alternatives received 65% of the vote. And you can see the other the other issues noted below. Next slide. So we're now at a point where we are have sort of taken all this research, and it is presenting sort of a course of action. And we've had multiple conversations with our 30-member steering committee of both public and private sector leaders. Several of them are part of our meeting here today and also serve on TRPA's board. And there are five areas, if you will, that are emerging as part of the Envision Tahoe resilience, economic resilience, and diversification strategy. Accelerating workforce housing, which TRPA plays a very significant role, and improving mobility. We consider these economic foundations. You cannot have a healthy economy without being able to have an economy that is mobile, nor one where workers don't have a roof over their house. It not only is important to employers, it's important to the environment so that we can reduce vehicle miles traveled and make sure that we have a sustainable environment as well as a sustainable economy. The three other areas that that will be in the strategy as well is advancing sustainable tourism. And we are working very, very closely with the team at TRPA on their destination management strategy, something that I'll turn it over to Heidi as soon as my remarks are over, if she wants to speak a little bit more about that. But two other areas as well. One is anchor employers. So your anchor employers are defined as your hospitals and your universities, as well as your governments that are stable, that are large, that through their purchasing, through their client base, through their tax base, and whom they employ, have an outsized impact on the economy, especially mountain economies. And they have a particular role in not only providing stable and good paying jobs, but also encouraging and sustaining the growth of local firms. And so I'm happy to report that Chris Proctor with Barton Hospital, a health executive there, is going to be one of our key champions in the Anchor Employer initiative. And we look forward to talking to you more about some of the efforts underway there. The other strategy that has really emerged, especially when it comes to economic diversification, is doing more to support entrepreneurs and the startup community in Tahoe. Based on our research and engaging with entrepreneurs locally, we have a fantastic core group that includes designers and physicists and former Apple engineers and others that are at the table with us. We're here to report that the entrepreneurship ecosystem in Tahoe has steadily improved over the last 5 to 10 years. It's better when it comes to capital access. There are far more makerspaces and places where entrepreneurs can get support, but it is still too fragmented. And so an aspect of Envision Tahoe will be to give that life, to bring this community together more regularly, and to incent policies and investments that will help small firms in particular reach sustainability and grow, and hopefully be able to provide support, good paying jobs, and be able to support larger firms here in town. We're just sort of scratched the surface here. We're looking forward to talking to you again when the plan comes out and as we bring it to life. Much more to share, but with that, I think that's it for me, and I'll turn it back to Heidi for any concluding remarks and the questions that you may have. Heidi.
Thank you, Bill. And this is our final slide. And I posted in the chat for everyone the links directly to the baseline report, the regional Tahoe community report, and our Envision Tahoe page, where you'll see updates as we move forward. Again, much appreciation to our board members who are here on the TRPA governing board today, and our Supervisor Gustafson as co-chair of this effort. And we look forward to your questions. Thank you. Hey,
thank you so much. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Heidi. Really appreciate both of you. Fantastic things happening and really exciting. I would like to turn it over to my colleagues. Jim Lawrence, looks like he has his hands up. We'll start with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Heidi and Bill. Great presentation. Found it really interesting. I'm curious, and I think it was Heidi that you said at the beginning that over the last 10 years, the Tahoe economy has shifted to like a 62% tourism related, which was a pretty big increase since 2012, I guess, since it was over the last 10 years. I'm really just mostly curious. I know 2012 was a pretty tough year for the economy. And I know in Nevada, we certainly took a huge hit because we're tourism related. So over the last 10 years, was it so much that that Tahoe was losing non-tourism related, or was it just that all of the growth was coming back in the tourism economy? I don't know if I'm articulating that question good enough. Does that make sense?
I thank you for the question, Mr. Lawrence. I do think one quick clarification is that the data was 2010 to 2020 as the decade, and that's so a couple years off. But as you know, economic data, as much as we would love to have it as accurate and up-to-date as it is, it's usually a year behind or so. In fact, we won't get new population numbers for 2021 until probably November of this year. But it's a combination of a little bit of both. So it was a loss of what we call primarily resident-serving businesses. So a loss of those types of businesses in our community contributed to the acceleration from, again, 42% dependent on tourism to 62% dependent on tourism. In addition to the fact that after the recession, once the visitors started coming back to Lake Tahoe, a lot of businesses and people in our community sort of shifted and said, let's take advantage of this boom of all these people coming back to Tahoe. And they shifted their business models towards something that was much more dependent on tourists walking in their restaurant, walking in their retail shop in their center. So it was a loss of both the resident serving businesses and an acceleration of a shift to visitor serving businesses that created that disparity. I hope that answers your question.
It did. Thank you, Heidi. That did. I was just curious on the dynamics, because I do think it's really important to understand those dynamics as you develop strategies for how do we kind of address this or change this. Yeah, certainly. And I know it's just even in the small retail economy is just a struggle nationwide, for sure. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim, and thanks for the answer, Heidi. Belinda, please.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to discuss this more. And I guess my question relates to, well, number one, just a thank you that you actually did the surveys in Spanish as well. Much appreciated that was in there. And I'm just interested in understanding if there is a significant difference in the responses that you got to the Spanish language surveys, to the English surveys. You know, was there, you know, any differentiation in their responses and their priorities?
That is a great question, and I will begin the answer, and then I'm going to pass it on to Bill to talk a little bit about the statistics and the specifics. And we did do the survey in both English and Spanish. We have been trying to figure out ways to better engage our Spanish community, as it makes up a significant portion of our tourism economy and our regional demographic economy. But in addition to the Spanish survey respondents that we got, we actually had a lot of Spanish families fill out the English survey and identify themselves as Hispanic in the demographic question. So in addition to the Spanish language survey respondents, we actually had quite a few, even in the English survey, identify that way. So we know we had a very a good representation, again, of communities across the region. But I'll let Bill talk a little bit about the different nuances that we saw in the responses that we got from our Spanish families.
Yeah, I'll just say quickly, and we're happy to take this conversation offline, too, if you're even more curious. We were pleased in the response level that we got. It was not as robust as we would have liked, but between those that filled out the survey in Spanish and those that were identified as Spanish but filled out the English portion, we received over 100 responses. We did isolate those and compare. And essentially, for time, what I would just say is two big messages. One is that everything that was expressed in the survey was expressed more intensely by that demographic. Everything was higher, deeper, stronger in their responses. They were more likely to say that things were off track. They were more likely to say that housing was a challenge. They were more likely to say that there was an absence of social services and education services to meet them their needs. But again, we'd be happy to take this offline and speak with you more about it.
I will definitely take you up on that because I am interested in also the comparisons of, in the public schools, how do those demographics work out? Mm-hmm. And if there is a decline, which population and demographics is that hitting? It really, I think, foretells a lot of what's going to happen in the future in Tahoe. So thank you for that. And I will reach out separately.
Thank you both. Yes, Ashley, please.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. It was really interesting and great to hear a lot of that data. I just wanted to dig in a bit more on, I think it was what Heidi was talking about, the concerns with the regulatory fragmentation or the governance fragmentation around Tahoe, and just wanted to know if you had any more information about that, since obviously that's directly relevant to our work. And if that was related to permitting or, accessing services, what that was related to.
It's a great question, Ashley. And TRPA has done such an outstanding and stellar job of sort of leading this environmental vision in the region on the EIP and on strategies related to that. So tying the funding sources to the environmental improvement program efforts. And because we don't do the same thing on housing strategies, you can have a very different housing policy in Placer County than you do in El Dorado County on the South Shore, or a different ADU policy in Washoe County than you have in the city of South Lake Tahoe or in Douglas County on the Nevada side. So this is part of the reason that we want our economic and community strategy to be a vision that we all embrace and that we look at from the perspective of trying to apply policy changes that actually are regional in nature, because housing is a regional problem. We can't solve it all in the city of South Lake Tahoe and have all the workers live there, but then drive around the lake to work in Incline Village or Tahoe City, for example. We can't bus everyone in from Reno to the tourism jobs in our economy. That hurts the environment and it fragments your community. So we can't solve the fact that we're two states and we're six different government jurisdictions, but we look at the solutions that already the TRPA is taking on with some of the housing challenges and encourage all of our government partners around the region to really work together more collaboratively on some of these economic solutions things like a regional procurement strategy on big ticket items. Again, reducing the cost for each individual jurisdiction to purchase things at a level that allows those to be, you know, brought into our region. Looking at manufacturing and economic, investment in our region. You can do manufacturing down in the valley. You can have your headquarters up here at the lakes. There's a lot of, we think, a lot of opportunities on the economic side of things that if we looked at it with that more regional lens, as opposed to what can just this one community do, we think we'll be better off in the long run with our regional economy. So it's a great question. We don't have all the answers yet, but we're working on it with, again, really smart people like you guys across the board.
Thank you.
And Heidi, if I can add just one thing, is that our firm early on with Heidi and TPC's help spoke with many, many leaders in the public and private sector. And we were hunting for the economic strategy for the Tahoe Basin and could not find one. So Envision Tahoe, you can imagine, is... might be relatively new and a new cohesive platform to be able to advance. There's been so much energy, and rightfully so, on the environmental front, and even on the housing front. There's been scant attention, at least as near as we can tell, on what is the unifying economic vision for the Tahoe Basin. And so rightfully, we call it Envision Tahoe in order to create that sort of direction, because we need both the public and private organizations working, you know, towards a common vision. And we think that Envision Tahoe is beginning to flesh that out. It needs a lot more work, but it needs to have the same sort of attention and intensity as the environment and housing has had on the economic front, if we're truly to have a sustainable Tahoe Basin.
Thank you, appreciate that. Okay, Cody.
Yeah, hey, thank you guys so much for the very informative report. It's a little alarming, but I think the problems that we've known about. One thing that comes to mind for me with this is that, we're working on housing projects in the city and have a few hundred units in the works. However, it takes years to really realize the effect, of course, to get the shovel in the ground and actually make that happen. And one of the things that comes to mind as we look at housing being the worst issue and how can we make an immediate effect is getting rid of vacation rentals in our residential neighborhoods across the entire basin. And the effect is something that has an effect of now. And I think that we're seeing this nationwide and even internationally at this point. And I'm wondering, will the report take a look at what that effect would be if we were to do that and kind of look at the total number of current VHRs? We have some data with the effect of what happened in South Lake Tahoe to kind of relate to. And I'm just curious kind of if we're going to take that look at what the effect would be and maybe continuing to allow them in the commercial areas and the tourist core. I think there's some different kind of approaches to look at that. But with housing definitely being the biggest issue and a regional issue, I think it's time that we really take a look at it, in my opinion. So I'm just curious if that will be part of the study.
Thank you, Mr. Rass. And I will share, I know I don't like to disagree with you, but getting rid of vacation rentals and short-term rentals is actually not the primary way to improve housing. And our data on the Measure T homes in particular outlined that it's not the silver bullet solution we're all looking for to open up housing in our region on the immediate basis. Many of those homeowners, when they transition from a vacation rental, they just keep it as an empty second home. They don't automatically put in a long-term local resident in those homes. So we actually think that the solutions that TRPA is looking towards through the Living Working Group, such as ADU policy changes, actually would improve our housing situation on an immediate basis as well. And so we appreciate the opportunity to participate in those conversations. given that housing is such a significant issue and the immediate need doesn't match up with the long-term strategy of some of these great projects that the city of Southlake is putting in and other jurisdictions are doing, because it does take a long time to build new housing, we have a chapter in the report that will specifically address housing needs in our region. So it will always, as all of our work does, involve a lot of data, which we'll be sharing in this final report. But it involves strategies and things like the ADU policies, height and density policy changes, redevelopment of existing homes and opportunities, especially in tourist core areas like the city of Southlake and State Line. But also it looks at, again, the type of housing that you want in your community for families is going to be different than the type of housing that you need for your tourism workers. So opening up, opportunities like short-term seasonal rentals in, some of our core areas. So we will absolutely address this issue as part of the Envision Tahoe final report. We have an entire white paper / chapter on housing, and we will be making some, I wouldn't call them recommendations, but more considerations for TRPA and other entities to be looking at to improve this situation for our workers.
Great. Yeah, thank you. And, you know, we're still so kind of new into the Measure T in the city. So I think we're still trying to really understand. But for us, you know, even if it's 15 to 20% of the VHRs, that's still 280 homes that went to locals in the city. We had 1,400. So basin-wide, I don't know what that number is. I imagine it's probably in the 5,000. So if you can only imagine 10% of that going to local houses being rent, that's 500 homes available from a policy decision that would be made. And I just think that we are in a housing crisis, and I think it's time for us to really look at things that would have that kind of effect. Because to get 500 units built, we're 5 years out. So just a thought and something to consider. But thank you so much for the report. It was very informative.
Thank you. Scott, please.
Thank you. Employee of the Secretary of State's office, I sit sometimes with the Secretary on the Board of Economic Development, or for the Governor's Office of Economic Development. I was hoping you could give me your thoughts on how you're going to identify the specific needs, business needs in the basin that are outside of the tourism sector, and how you're going to incentivize the entrepreneurs to come in and provide these services and provide these businesses?
That is an excellent question, Scott. And one of the things that we are looking at is we're not trying to create any new regional economic clusters that don't already connect or relate to our economy. So we already have identified health and wellness as a significant sector in our regional economy. There's a reason people love to be up at this lake. So connecting the dots with health and wellness and our beautiful trails and mindfulness and all the things that are happening in that economic sector. And then also on entrepreneurship and innovation, we have, again, wonderful colleges and universities, both in the basin as well as connected right outside, as you know, UNR and Reno, and a lot of activity that's already happening. It's just very much under the radar, and it hasn't had, again, this unified vision and focus on it. So it's sort of kind of, you know, sort of maintained and limped along in the last, few years. But if we put a focus and effort and energy into it, we believe that there is room for growth. So I'll let Bill add in anything beyond what I've said, but we are specifically looking at sort of those two sectors of our regional economy, not trying to create some new silver bullet fix for our regional economy, but looking at the things that leverage our strengths in our area and then connecting the dots to how to ensure the support is there to help them grow.
And I'm happy to jump.
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm happy to chime in, but I wanted to turn to Scott and see whether that was enough of an answer or if he had a follow-up question.
Well, I think my concern would be is that because the economy is so tourism-centric, is that, a lot of the focus is going to be toward those areas and how we would incentivize some of those businesses that would provide these additional services, related services, and have them invest or bring those services to the basin.
Maybe just a quick answer. So, Scott, you probably know this well, but Reno, about 10 years ago, made a choice that they saw a heavily tourist, visitor-oriented economy and decided that they were going to broaden and diversify their economic base. And within our studies, we actually paid close attention to places like Reno, as well as Bend, Oregon, and other places that have had a really intentional strategy towards economic diversification. And as a result, they've grown those middle-tier jobs and upper jobs through the growth and recruitment of other firms again, sort of focusing on Reno in particular, that has been really helpful. What's curious, and maybe not so curious, is that when you compare Reno's economy to Las Vegas's economy, that Las Vegas, because it is so visitor and tourist based, is only now coming out of the recession. It's one of the last economies in the United States to come out of the recession because it is so tourist-based. Reno was much, much earlier coming out of the recession because it had a much different economic base that was much more tied to other regional economies and to broader supply chains. And that's, we're trying to take inspiration from places like Reno that have already diversified their economic base and are helping their residents in a really meaningful way keep their jobs and to have sort of family sustaining wages.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Shelley, please.
Thank you, Mark. This is a question for Bill. Bill, I assume that well, I guess my question is, how did the outcomes of this survey compare to other similar surveys conducted in other mountain resort communities? I'm assuming there are a lot of commonalities. The problems confronting Tahoe are certainly not unique to the basin.
Yeah, it is. That's an excellent question. So people have asked us, well, are you going to be, you know, talking to Vail and Breckenridge and other communities and seeing what they're doing. And in fact, we have. And as a bit of a teaser, part of our report will be economic comparison against other mountain economies. And we describe them as economies essentially that have a heavy visitor tourism base and generally are over 4,000 feet in elevation. And what's curious to us, and this is the tease, we don't want to be Colorado. There's sort of what we might look like if we don't sort of make some choices and some different choices going forward. Their median home prices are in the millions of dollars, and they're very much struggling. In different communities, ones that are very healthy economic-wise, they're catching up to places like Tahoe with their housing challenges. And so what we're finding is that Tahoe is stands together in many respects with other mountain communities when it comes to their economic base, the challenges of housing, of mobility, even their economic makeup share a lot of similarities. Where Tahoe is different, and I want to pause here for a dramatic pause, where Tahoe is different is that no other mountain community is 3-hour drive time to Silicon Valley, the world's epicenter for innovation, and no other mountain community has 15 million customers that are within a 3-hour drive time either. And so that creates not a mountain economy, but a mountain economy sometimes during the weekdays and an urban economy on the weekends. And that is Tahoe's challenge, is that it is both a urban economy and a mountain economy, just depending on the day and the time of season. And because of climate change and the fact that the Tahoe is going to be accessible increasingly year round, this is going to be an increasing challenge. And it is something that we're looking at closely.
Thank you, Bill. A follow-up question. I think you mentioned at the beginning of your presentation, or Heidi may have mentioned, that you've had kind of an inward migration of corporate folks, people, you know, in various industries who have purchased vacation homes, but maybe telecommuting. Have you surveyed them, you know, to find out how they would, you know, if they have those entrepreneurial, unique entrepreneurial instincts, how they would address this problem in terms of helping the Tahoe Basin to attract people with similar interests who may be interested in starting businesses in the basin and employing people locally?
I think you should be part of our entrepreneur core group, because that's a wonderful idea. So it has come up as a topic. So as part of this planning process, you can imagine we've been very, very busy over the last 12 months. We've not been able to get to that. It is part of our plan. You know, hopefully USEDA will provide TPC some additional dollars, because that is an area that we would like to do more study and planning for. We have a core group of entrepreneurs at the table today. And there is a plan for as soon as this summer, but it could be this fall, that we hold an entrepreneurship summit in Tahoe for entrepreneurs and for those that support them to be able to have this sort of conversation and take the next steps. So that too will be part of the strategy that we lay out.
Great, thank you.
And I'll just add that many of those residents did participate in our online survey and contributed to the results, again, which, as Bill mentioned, were, regardless of demographic or where you lived around the lake, were pretty consistent in terms of the threats to our regional economy and the opportunities for solutions. So we know we have some of those new residents that participated in this survey, as well as those who may have lived here for, you know, longer than just the past year or two.
Okay, thank you,
Bobby. Mm-hmm. Great, thank you so much. I wanted to let everybody know that I've got to take off at 12:40 for about an hour. And since Cindy is in Washington, D.C. as the vice chair, I'm going to ask Bill as the immediate past chair to step in for the hour while I'm gone. But did we have any other questions or comments? I'm looking to see for any hands raised. If anyone wants to vocally let me know that they have any further questions or comments. If not, that was really a fantastic discussion, and we very much appreciate both Heidi and Bill. And at this point in time, we'll go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on these agenda items, please raise your hand now, either by clicking raise hand at the bottom of the Zoom screen or dialing *9 on your phone, and we'll be called and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. I'll hand this over to Catherine at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a hand raised to Steve Teixeira, who can address the board.
Thank you, Catherine. Chair Bruce and members of the governing board, Steve Teixeira on behalf of Tahoe Chamber. I'm very glad to see this item on your agenda today and the presentation you just received. I want to commend, on behalf of the chamber, commend Heidi and the members of the Prosperity Center board for picking such an outstanding team of consultants to help us with this. Mr. Mueller is particularly well qualified, and he's brought other excellent folks to the table to be part of this. I've been part of and seen a lot of studies about Tahoe and these issues over the years, and this is really a well-done report. I encourage all governing board members and everyone else who's interested in looking at the report and the community survey. And of course, we know that there's tremendous synergy between some of the findings here and some of the challenges that we face that TRPA and others are involved with, housing certainly being one. People clearly want reduced traffic congestion and more transportation alternatives, and we're working on that. Sometimes it seems like these things don't come along as quickly as they should, but I think this underscores the fact that we're working on the right key issues. So I think that it's been an honor for me to be part of the Catalyst Committee that's been helping to guide this, and I really appreciate that Bill and his team and Heidi and the Prosperity Center have really conducted great outreach on this. So let's continue on this, and let's look forward to the next report. I've heard a number of governing board members, and I've heard Bill make the offer to have conversations offline, which I encourage you to do. I know they're very accessible, very interested in your opinions, and you're going to help shape what is the final report. So again, glad to see this on the governing board agenda today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Anybody else, Catherine?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, thank you so much. Are there any further comments based on that from the board? This was an informational item only, so we don't have a vote or anything like that. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Bill. We're very much appreciate your attendance today and your participation.
Thank you for the time today and the great questions. Appreciate it.
Okay. So let's see. If you don't mind, Bill, this seems like a pretty good segue since I'm going to be jumping off in the next couple minutes. Do you want to jump in here? Or would you
sure.
like me
I'll
to
ju- open I'll this jump up? In. I'll jump in. The next matter would be item 7B, which is another informational item, which you found on page 147 of our agenda packet. This deals with the destination stewardship plan and regional collaborative recreation and tourism update. And I assume that this is probably a Julie Reagan project, and I'd be turning this over to her to carry on.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Mr. Former Chair, Acting Chair Yates, and good to see all of you members of the Governing Board and members of the public. I am Julie Reagan, and I'm the Deputy Director, Chief of External Affairs at TRPA. I am going to kick off this item and give you some context to what we're going to talk about before I then turn it over to Dr. Gregory Miller from the Center for Responsible Travel, and then Carol Chaplin, CEO of the Lake Tahoe Visitors Authority. I wanted to provide this context because we have been on a journey, and it is absolutely strategic that we paired this presentation with the Tahoe Prosperity Center's presentation because they overlap and really build on each other. So there's a lot of energy in this direction around making our recreation and tourism-based economy more resilient, more sustainable, and more responsible. And so the term destination stewardship is a relatively new one for Tahoe, and we're going to explain what that means. But in terms of TRPA, I wanted just to make really clear that we are one of the many, many partners in the basin that are working in this space. And as we often do, we convene dialogue, facilitate conversations, grow partnerships, and form a backbone to bring folks together to move in the same direction for the greater good for Tahoe. We, of course, have many threshold areas that this touches. You know, not only our recreation threshold, which is front and center, but the board adopted, you all adopted, the transportation and sustainable communities threshold with the VMT change last year. We also have intersections with our water and air quality thresholds, among others. So this is an overlapping conversation that really matters to not only our local community, our many millions of visitors, and all those who care about Lake Tahoe. So we'll go to the next slide, Tracy, please. Thank you. You just heard more detail than I'm going to give you about the importance of the recreation and tourism generated economy, 15 million visitors annually. Just to put that in perspective, think about Yosemite National Park, just a couple hours to our south. You know, we operate in a land space that's roughly three times smaller than Yosemite and get three times more visitors. And if you really look at that on an annual population base at less than 60,000 people year round, with an annual visitation base of around 15 million, we're talking about 250 times our local annual population. So when you look at big numbers in other locations, they also have bigger year-round populations. So that also puts us in a distinct area. So a little context setting, as I mentioned, TRPA entered this discussion in partnership with our EIP partners, Environmental Improvement Program partners, through the Interagency Executive Steering Committee now 5 years ago. Back in 2017, the TRPA and the U.S. Forest Service Lake Tahoe Basin Management Unit co-led the creation of a new working group in the sustainable recreation area. And we started this conversation in the basin around what does a more sustainable future for recreation and tourism look like in Tahoe, as it touches all of the related restoration and economic issues that you just heard in the earlier presentation. So we convened this conversation with many different partners, and it has evolved and grown over the years to get us to the point where we are today. I'll take the next slide, please. So in terms of where I'm very interested in this personally, as I mentioned before in previous presentations, I'm pursuing my PhD at the University of Nevada, Reno in this space of environmental sustainability through an environmental science program, but really looking at that connection between our science-based metrics and indicators in policy. And so through that work, I discovered the Center for Responsible Travel, who you'll be hearing from Greg Miller in just a few minutes, and was invited to speak in 2018 at George Washington University on what was then becoming a conversation around over-tourism. It was a relatively new word in the visitation and travel and tourism space. And so there was an entire forum on World Tourism Day back in 2018 in Washington, D.C., where world experts were convened to have this discussion around how do we not love a place to death, particularly in areas that depend on tourism for the lifeblood of their economy. And Tahoe was featured on the stage with all kinds of areas. In the picture here, I am sharing the stage with a representative from Iceland, whose tourism just exploded after the economic recession as they started to come out of that. And they were sharing some lessons learned. I was giving a talk about what we're doing in Tahoe, a little bit of our special watershed governance provisions here in the lake, and our Take Care program, and how we've tried to enlist our visitors in a message campaign and a coordinated messaging around environmental stewardship, and was giving an overview of that. But what was very compelling in the discussion, and this, again, this is pre-COVID, this is 2018, was that the entire world was seeing this convergence, almost a perfect storm to create more and more tourism. If you look at demographic shifts from the baby boomer generation that's looking for, you know, so-called bucket list travel, if you couple that with the biggest generation segments to date, the millennial and Gen Z generation, with adventure-seeking travel combined with cell phone bookings, Airbnb, TripAdvisor, Booking.com, low-cost airfare, and relative economic prosperity in many places of the world, we had a world boom in tourism and travel. And one in 10 jobs globally depends on tourism. Tourism is the world's largest employer. So this was a global conversation, and Tahoe was a part of that. And that was really also what took us to this next level of the journey toward this destination stewardship area. So I'll have the next slide, please. So I was speaking at this conference about the work that we've done in partnership. Again, Take Care is a collaborative group of more than 60 partners. And certainly thanks to the leadership of the Tahoe Fund, of many partners around the basin, we've been able to mobilize a messaging campaign and a coordinated clearinghouse for environmental stewardship activities through the Take Care Tahoe website. It was so much of interest to folks in Washington, D.C. that representatives from Cape Cod followed up and they've adopted their own Take Care Cape Cod program. And I was just invited to speak there with Dr. Miller just a few weeks ago back on the Cape to share our lessons learned and hear some of the challenges that they're facing and sharing information. So this really began our grassroots initiative to get our visitors and our locals connected in one place to one set of messaging. Because in communications, those of us who are in that field and have experience in that field, sometimes we know there can be too much of a good thing. Too many messages can confuse people and have people tune out. So the idea of Take Care was to unify messages, particularly in the area of environmental stewardship. Next slide, please. So we went forward with all of these many partners, and this is a smattering, certainly not all exhaustive, but you can just see the vast array of partners that are touching visitors and locals with recreation and tourism messages and trying to unify them, even going as far as putting signs on public beaches and ski resorts in high touch points with heavy traffic that has been steadily growing in recent years. Next slide, please. Those of you who have been on the board will remember these messages from previous presentations. They're fun, they're catchy, they're attention grabbing. Our personal favorite around the office as a dog friendly office, you know, if it's your dog, then it's your duty. Pet waste is a huge issue in Tahoe. All sorts of issues that really matter related to wildfire, invasive species, wildlife management, cigarette butts. Nobody wants to see your dirty butt. The fourth graders particularly love that one when we go in the classrooms. So these are intended to generate attention-getting headlines that make people look twice to then dig in, pull up a video online, see a sign, get more information. And we have been really growing this campaign over the years. Next slide. So we've moved this into the lodging properties with the RAT cards. Welcome to Tahoe. Here are the things you absolutely need to know as a visitor. And we've had great support from our business partners and lodging properties to get this information in check-in packets and in collateral materials in lobbies with concierges. We also have been connecting with people as they drive up through a multi-partner supported billboard campaign. And our visitors authorities and public agencies and local governments have all supported these billboards in the drive-up feeder markets, which we know roughly represent 40% of our visitors. They're coming for the day. And so reaching them before they go is a major priority. So the billboard advertising has been expensive. We're talking, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars per campaign. And so it takes everyone to row in the same direction. The Tahoe Fund and other partners for the collaborative for Take Care have been instrumental in bringing the partnership together around that. Next slide. So looking back at how the global community was focused on over tourism in 2018 and the thought leadership that CREST provided, I wanted just to mention one thing that we all talked about at that conference was a great threat to climate, to the tourism industry, as climate change and over tourism compounding that. And so that was a big conversation with the thought leaders that were gathered back in Washington. And we've experienced that here in Tahoe. Not to mention, you know, wildfire risk and dangers from climate and drought really grow those risks in our local community. And everyone had their own version of that in their destinations. So the point here in sharing this is that Tahoe is not alone. We know that other destinations are struggling with some of these issues. Next slide. Europe has been the destination ground zero for a lot of the over-tourism issues leading up to COVID. This is a slide from Barcelona. CNN Travel covered this summit in Washington, D.C. back in 2018. And Barcelona's mayor spoke at the conference and talked about the conflicts between local residents and the visitors. They even had to put barricades around local schools because visitors were acting like paparazzi, taking pictures of school kids playing at recess. And they had to cordon off areas in the city. And of course, that's a really big city, a little bit of a different urban footprint, but still issues that they were struggling with. And there are other cities in Europe like Venice, Amsterdam, a lot of places in Italy that have struggled with this. And then one thing that became clear in the discussion around this in 2018, I will say the Lake Tahoe Visitors Authority, the League to Save Lake Tahoe, the local Tahoe Chamber, folks supported Tahoe being a part of this conversation. But one thing we noticed was that even the word over tourism was a loaded word, and we needed to harmonize the interests of everyone because Tahoe doesn't have an over tourism problem 365, 24/7. We're very much a peak driven seasonal issue. So that's when these kinds of issues started to surface, and we knew we had more work to do. Next slide. And not only Europe, we also had Latin America represented. This is a slide from Machu Picchu. And in the 2018 timeframe, folks there, representatives from the region, were discussing their need to double tourism. They were relying so heavily on tourism to drive their economies. They were putting in place ways to double their visitation with reservation systems and to improve their transportation. The picture in the lower left is a bus overturned. It's very dangerous to get there. They were struggling with a lot of the same infrastructure from a transportation standpoint challenge that we have. Next slide. So all of the stories that were shared at the conference were pulled together in a book that Crest took the lead to edit. And we're very gratified that Tahoe's chapter is in there. And I have extra copies of the book for any board members or folks that are interested in that. But it really put us on the stage with others that Tahoe is in the midst of working through strategies and is in a leadership position globally to tackle this. But we have so much more work to do. Next slide. Then enters COVID and the world changed in March of 2020 when air travel stopped. A lot of destinations shut down. Ours ramped up because people in the summer of 2020 wanted to get outside. So we actually pivoted this sustainable recreation working group in the face of COVID and brought the whole community together, getting local business representatives, chambers of commerce, visitors authorities, local governments, land managers to coordinate on COVID responses. And some new programs were a result of that. Travel pledges, Clean Tahoe, litter abatement. The Blue Crew, the League to Save Lake Tahoe, took a huge leadership role in garnering support and volunteerism for picking up trash. And of course, an ambassador program, which we've briefed you on in previous meetings, where we were enlisting through local programs, local high school students, other volunteers through the Tahoe Rim Trail and others to get out on the trailheads to educate folks about what does Leave No Trace mean? How do we take care of our hiking trails? So we've made some progress in the face of COVID. Next slide. However, we know that these problems aren't going away. People who discovered the outdoors in COVID, many of which had not been to Tahoe before or enjoyed the outdoors in the same way they might have gone to an amusement park or other recreational opportunities, but couldn't during COVID, they discovered the great outdoors. We saw it in our national and state parks. Visitation climbed through the roof. These folks are here to stay. If you look at any measure of outdoor recreation, the industry is growing. More people want to go outside. We'll have more visitors on our public lands, of course, which consist of more than 80%, almost 90% public land in the basin between the Forest Service, state parks, and local parks and recreation facilities. So these folks are going to continue to come, and we want them to come because we have public lands. Next slide, please. So we have continual challenges. They persist. Pet waste, invasive species, illegal campfires, educating folks about 90% of wildfires being human caused, and trash. These are all consistent challenges that we're going to continue to deal with. Next slide. And our two states are right at the table with us. Nevada and California both have prioritized outdoor recreation. Governor Sisolak, in the photos on the left, just signed a shared stewardship agreement to link up federal lands with state lands, with tourism communities, with local community partners to do shared stewardship agreements. Woodsy the Owl in the picture at the bottom. On the California side, Access for All is a very enormous policy push. Pictures here around Governor Newsom and the Office of the First Partners endeavor around outdoor access for all. We in Tahoe are really leaning in. The Conservancy and many other partners, state parks, are doing a wonderful job of looking at all of the programs that we have and how can we bolster access and inclusivity, accessibility of our public lands. So this is a simultaneous energy that we're coordinating with. And I just wanted to make sure to mention that. Next slide, please. So as we heard in the presentation, one fact that really was a key takeaway for me in the research of the Tahoe Prosperity Center is this feeling of discontent with our local community. And these are photographs of trash and responses from our local residents standing at the Myers Roundabout as people would come into town, and there were other protests in other areas of the gateways coming into the basin all around North and South Shores. Tourists go away because people really hit, I think, a fever pitch in terms of local residents feeling isolated and overrun, not just crowded, but overcrowded. And when you have an economy that depends on visitors, this is not a welcoming environment, and our local residents need an outlet to channel productively how we can move the needle to better manage, not necessarily discourage or limit visitation, but to better manage this visitation and make sure that we don't love the place to death. So this really galvanized this regional initiative around the notion of destination stewardship. Next slide. So then this takes us to where we are today. And leading up to what is a very exciting collaborative that's just kicking off to build a comprehensive shared vision north, south, east, west of Lake Tahoe for responsible tourism and the future of tourism in our community. So building on the work that we've done, joining with other partners and related initiatives like the Tahoe Prosperity's Envision Tahoe program and other initiatives that are underway. We heard this morning at our environmental improvement Transportation Outreach Committee, an update on the funding initiative to raise more dollars for Tahoe's transportation infrastructure. All of these initiatives are related and working together in harmony with this destination stewardship program. So I wanted to make sure that you saw that they are compatible and related, but this initiative in the destination stewardship area is unique and is just getting ready to kick off. Next slide. And so, as I mentioned, TRPA is one of many partners on the founding core team of this initiative. And you can see it's a wide array of supporters, and all of these members of the logos you see on the screen have financially invested in this project to move the needle on destination stewardship for Tahoe. So TRPA, again, helping work with the Center for Responsible Travel, who is a successful firm that bid on this work, working with our two states, the Washoe Tribe, the Forest Service, local governments, visitors authorities, even some private citizens have contributed personally to this. We are so fortunate to have everyone at the table, which is actually quite historic. We've always coordinated together, but this is actually a new level of collaboration to get our local land managers connected to our visitors authorities, connected to our local governments and public agencies and nonprofits like the Tahoe Fund and others. So this is where we are now forming this core team to take us into a year-long planning initiative for an action plan around destination stewardship. So the next slide is when Dr. Greg Miller will come in and tell you what is a destination stewardship plan, what does that mean, and Carol Chaplin will give you more of a perspective on what that will mean for the visitors authorities and our tourism partners. And Dr. Miller is the executive director of the Center for Responsible Travel and is working with a host of folks on this project for us. So I will turn it over to Greg.
Thank you so much, Julie. Can you hear me okay? Terrific. Yes. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Yes, it is your good afternoon now. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. And I really wanted to compliment Julie's good words. She really gets it, not only at the regional level, but at the national. And frankly, Julie and the team at TRPA are really in the vanguard of international best practices, or at least striving for best practices, and working to lead by example. And this approach is really embodied in the effort that we're developing now with the larger Tahoe Regional Partnership on this important sense of place of the Lake Tahoe region. And I just want to emphasize that because it's all about that sense of place, no question. As Julie mentioned, I'm the executive director of the Center for Responsible Traveler, CREST. We're based in Washington, D.C., but I'm also the co-founder of the Global Future of Tourism Coalition. And I'm happy to report that TRPA, since I'm speaking to the Board of Governors and others, we are very proud that TRPA was one of our original 22 founding signatories of the Future of Tourism's 13 guiding principles for a sustainable tourism future. And that was really exciting. And TRPA continues to participate with us on several fronts, including our climate crisis work, et cetera. It's really great. But I also wanted to share with you that I'm a proud native Californian with an extended family Tahoe home on the California side since the 1960s. So Tahoe is not an abstract place for me, and of course, by extension, my team, but it's a place that's been near and dear for some time. As Julie mentioned, I am the managing partner of our CREST-led team of sustainable tourism practitioners and thought leaders. We're helping the Tahoe partnership that was just outlined by Julie, the people of other communities in the greater region, establish a new shared destination stewardship plan. But let's take a look at what that really entails. If we go to the next slide, I'm not sure who's controlling. Thank you. With the double impacts of COVID, the COVID pandemic and the climate crisis that we've seen, and both Heidi and Bill earlier talked about this in terms of kind of a double whammy, this has really caused the tourism and recreation industries to reinvent themselves, with many looking towards adaptive and resilience to these threats, and frankly, to build a better tourism model for the future. The Tahoe Prosperity Center and Vision Tahoe study provides us with really a good, strong, robust, and timely base for us to both use and build upon. And I think that's very important because our work is very deliberate and intentional in terms of breaking down any particular silos that might be where studies are here, studies are there. We're looking at the region in a comprehensive manner. We're also now seeing many leading iconic destinations, and there's a few projected up here, that are developing a more holistic and responsible approach to managing and protecting a destination's common pool of resources. And when I say that, these are the resources that are the natural, cultural, spiritual resources, the infrastructure, public spaces, and water and energy. Sounds like I just described the mission of TRPA, and I think I just did. All of these are front and center without question in the greater Lake Tahoe region. The destinations that are listed up here, and I selected some that are really relevant to making comparisons with the greater Tahoe region, are really in the vanguard of developing destination stewardship plans to set a shared vision with multiple benefits. And I'm going to emphasize that point. These include, and we're working very closely with some of these projects. In fact, some of our team members are in fact developing these plans concurrently. So we really have the best thinkers involved, whether it's in Jackson Hole Tetons, overall in the state of Colorado, the city of Vail, the Texas Gulf Coast, and Glacier County in Montana. Next slide, please. I'd like to take just a few minutes to help frame just how important destination stewardship is, what it means, and how important it is for the greater Lake Tahoe region's residents, visitors, and natural and cultural aspects. I'd like to unpack a little bit this rather hefty but very valuable definition for destination stewardship that I like to use. So bear with me, and I think you'll see the approach we're taking, the philosophy, and the ethics that we're putting into place with this interdisciplinary work to see where we're at the other end of this effort. I think we really truly are going to have a sustainable roadmap for genuine destination stewardship for the Greater Tahoe region. So destination stewardship, and this is a real core area of expertise for CREST, and I should point out that I'm an ecologist and recreation planner by training and have been much of my career. So stewardship has been a really key element for me front and center. But destination stewardship is based on the responsible use of shared or common pool resources. And this is an approach that balances and meets the needs of a destination and its communities. We've just been talking about that throughout the entire meeting. In addition, a destination stewardship plan, as we're envisioning to produce and provide for the region, operates with legitimacy and consent under a participatory governance model. And this inclusive participatory community approach is something that is core to our DNA in this project. And with our core team, we are working to ensure that we establish that. Destination stewardship and the plan that we're undertaking, the shared destination stewardship plan for the Greater Tahoe region, these require a clear mandate, good knowledge and data, and the identification of mutual interests and priorities, particularly between the public and private sectors. Now, each of you on the call or at the meeting are participating without question in some aspects of those. So this should all look familiar, but I think the challenge, and Julie and frankly Bill and Heidi commented as well about how some of the work that's been done recently is really kind of shaking people out of their silos a bit more than maybe in the past. And I think we are presented with an extraordinary opportunity. Next slide, please. Our work at the Future of Tourism Coalition, and certainly through CREST's work and other partners' work, we want to emphasize something, and this is really part of our core effort with this destination stewardship plan, is that we want to reframe everything for the future of tourism and outdoor recreation in Lake Tahoe that is more destination and community-centric, to ensure that we recenter around people, place, and prosperity in an integrated and functional manner. This graphic is something that we use quite a bit. When you just basically look at people, place, nature, looking at the fundamentals of why people enjoy and prosper in a place, and why that place, because of its prosperity, because of the high integrity of purpose there, it's also a nice place to visit. And so this is something that is fundamental. And as we proceed in this effort over these next several months in 2022, because we're just getting on the ground, Carol's going to talk about some of our upcoming launch efforts. This is really new for everyone, and we're very excited about this. Next slide. I mentioned before, and I would like to mention again, that what we're developing and what we're going to be crafting together with this Tahoe partnership that's been developed is really a shared vision with mutual benefits for a truly sustainable tourism future for the Tahoe region. Now, this vision is going to have several elements, and some of the really elements of success that we are going to be striving for in this to create a blueprint for the region is, first, built on collaboration and partnership, not competition. That is really key. Second is, as I've just mentioned, the destination, whether it's the Greater Lake Tahoe region or there's obviously multiple destinations within the region, and the communities, both the permanent communities as well as seasonal communities, may need to be at the center of sustainable tourism. We also want to be building and really committing to that genuine intentionality to sustainability, where we build it into everything that we develop so that we're looking towards better tourism for all, not necessarily more, but this is not a program that's going to be looking to limit or cut in a prescriptive manner, but to be looking for the greatest return for benefits that can be sustainably delivered. And what we have also identified, and it's interesting that we've seen this very much just in the earlier presentation from our friends at the Tahoe Prosperity Center, that transportation and affordable housing have been identified as critical to the future of sustainable recreation and tourism for the greater Tahoe region. And in addition to that, we are going to be what I like to be call really focusing on how we can engage and inform under-resourced communities. That's, you might not have heard that used in quite this way before. Generally, people use say underserved. But what we're looking at is going to be a broader lens here, such that we're not just looking at maybe underserved communities from a socioeconomic perspective, but we need to work towards the best, most informed populace, whether it's permanent residents, second home, temporary, and of course the day visitors, which are literally millions in the Tahoe region. You have a very better resourced and informed community, there's going to be the sense of shared stewardship, both across that spectrum from residents to day visitors. Next slide, please. And then just finally, I want to just share what we're looking at. We're not taking a prescriptive approach, but we without question have identified a number of key indicators or conditions for success that we want to look for in terms of developing a shared destination stewardship plan for the Greater Lake Tahoe region. We believe that there's going to be several key elements here for success. One is that whatever we recommend collectively as a team must focus on sustaining local economies and diversifying those economies. We've already heard that message. We share that with Heidi and the team there, no question, as well as ecosystem health. Second is we want to be really ensuring that we're very deliberate about promoting social equity, which includes access and distribution of benefits from tourism for residents, businesses, and visitors. Third key area or condition for success in this is going to be, and this is something which I think is really exciting to see how the DMOs in the greater, the destination marketing, I'll say destination management organizations in the greater Tahoe region really are stepping up and supporting how we can strengthen stewardship values, that sense of place and shared responsibility, both among residents and visitors. And then two final and very important elements for success we believe are going to be fundamental is to be, we're going to be focusing also on how and where and when we might be able to recommend increasing the diversity of activities, experiences, and settings, while also protecting those shared natural and cultural resources. We are really talking about smarter, better tourism for the greater Tahoe region. And I think it's without question possible. You're already on a path for it to a degree, but we believe we can accelerate and amplify the good practices and the commitments of players and stakeholders within the greater Tahoe region. And then finally, and this is something that is key, and I was really pleased to hear both Heidi and Bill from the Prosperity Center work, looking to improve the ability, our ability to respond and predict how visitors evaluate, envision, and attach meaning to Tahoe as a destination. Those deep personal connections that probably everyone who's listening to my voice now have with the greater Tahoe region, as well as those memories that you have. There's a whole new generation of visitors, as Julie put. They're not going away. Many of those people came and had probably never been to Lake Tahoe before, but 80 to 85% of Lake Tahoe is public land. It's in the public space. It is that shared resource. And that is key. And as a result, I think with a shared destination stewardship plan, we're going to be looking to really truly develop the blueprint for a healthy, successful development of visitor and resident experiences in the greater Tahoe region. So with that, we look forward to working with TRPA, and I without question want to give a tremendous shout out to the TRPA staff. Joanne, Julie, and the team have been extraordinary partners with my team and our greater team on the Crest Tahoe team. And the Tahoe partnership, our core team, is just to see this level of commitment and what I'll call skin in the game, both investing funding to hire us, but also investing the time and effort and, frankly, sweat equity big time in us being successful to achieve people, place, and prosperity. So with that, let me introduce one of our key partners and key drivers or champions in this effort. Carol Chaplin is going to share a few perspectives and some of where we are currently. She leads the Lake Tahoe Visitors Association and is really a key champion of our shared destination stewardship planning efforts. So Carol, please take it away. And again, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak for a few minutes.
Thanks, Dr. Miller, and thank you, Julie, and thank you to the governing board of directors for this opportunity and whoever, you know, who all the other people that are listening in. So we're referring to destination marketing organizations, DMOs, and the shift towards management, which started to take place a number of years ago, but it was really around the beginning of the pandemic that those of us in Lake Tahoe really began to understand that simply marketing the destination was kind of a thing of the past. Our goals were fairly simple then: increase awareness and drive visitation. During the COVID shutdowns and recovery, however, we began to understand that our ability to distribute messages to our target markets were valued and important, but much more complex than simply come here. During that time, we asked people to stay away initially. We asked them to respect COVID protocols. We learned as well that our destination was even more restorative than we thought, having the beauty, the outdoors, the recreation opportunities that are now more in demand than ever. During COVID, the DMO sat at the table, which is one of the principles of management, having a voice at the table. But to coin a phrase, I think it might have been Amy Berry from the Tahoe Fund who said this: we are not just sitting at the table with our partner organizations now, we are actually building a new one. And that's part of this visioning process that Dr. Miller and Julie have been presenting to you today. That new table is the vision that we've been talking about. And our process this year is meant to lead us to alignment on how we approach the future of tourism, recreation, economy, and environment. For the LTVA, this vision will be the foundation of a new strategy as we start to develop this visioning process. My board will take a look at this work and incorporate it into our new direction going forward. Without a shared vision around the lake, we don't stand a chance in pushing these initiatives forward and really making an impact on our communities. And we can continue to do what we do best, to talk to our visitors. But even more, along with our partners, we can deepen our visitors' experience, inspire the passion for the destination towards stewardship, as well as maintain our community's quality of life, and very importantly, protect the environment that all of us residents and visitors alike enjoy. So I kind of came up with this analogy the other day. I think Julie liked it, but if you guys like it, I'm going to take the rest of the day off, if you don't mind. we're headed, each of the participating organizations are heading down the road, staying in our respective lanes, driving towards our individual missions. For us, increase awareness, drive visitation. But now, currently, with this visioning process that Crest is leading and all of our partner organizations around the lake, we're beginning to change lanes when we need to. There's a take care message we want to get out about trash on the beach and poop on the trails and fire and danger in our forests. The LTVA changes lanes, participates in the purchase of the billboards along our highway corridors, or we want to catch our visitors outside to let them know that our, about our fragile environment and how important it is to wear the mask, find the trash can, or locate a beautiful spot that is not Emerald Bay or Sand Harbor, perhaps. We've actually stopped using Emerald Bay as one of our hero images in some of our advertising because we would just rather that they experience some of our less known iconic locations and as well just have a greater experience of being able to park your car and get out and walk around and enjoy that area. The LTVA supported the Ambassador Program last year and will do so again this year. And we've also put the blinker on and moved into the midweek stay lane. Our PR efforts over the past several years have included offering to our media partners the concept of a midweek or off-peak stay so that we can disperse some of our visitors to those less impactful times. And perhaps a very tangible example of this management, this visit, vision and collaboration is the South Shore Microtransit pilot project that's beginning to take shape for this summer. The destination stewardship process started with stakeholder surveys and outreach and now moves towards engaging our residents and our local partners in a series of public workshops. We also have a microsite. I think it's time to change the slide from this, perhaps. As we march towards our Lake Tahoe destination stewardship plan. And the workshops will start soon, sometime in mid-May or closer to June, and will be most informative and helpful towards the shaping of a vision that drives all of our efforts, keeps the tourism economy humming in harmony, and with higher goals of improving and protecting our destination. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Julie, if you have any wrap-up comments or...
Thank you. Thank you so much, Carol. And thank you, Dr. Miller. Tracy, you can advance the next slide. We really appreciate your attention. I know you've had a lot of information thrown at you today, board members, but this truly is where the rubber meets the road. I mean, this is important. Our local community depends on tourism. Our local residents want to enjoy a good quality of life. We need to unite these initiatives and grow the prosperity of the region and the process. So we really appreciate your attention. I will mention that there is also a science tied to this and that the Tahoe Science Advisory Council is initiating a study that will inform this work, which down the road eventually will be coming back to you in the form of a relook at our recreation threshold. So just to tie it back to the beginning of where TRPA's entry points are in this space, one of them really marries up the science with the policy, and that will evolve over time. So thank you for your attention. Look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Julie, Greg, and Carol for a very interesting and thorough evaluation of changes that we need to make. And that's so at this point, I'm any governing board comments or questions? I see Shelley's hand up. Go ahead, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. a very nice presentation. I don't know who I should direct this to specifically, maybe Julie. You know, the Take Care program uses some, as you pointed out, some very clever images, which are obviously popular with the younger generation. But I'm wondering if using more serious graphics wouldn't be more effective with adult visitors like we did with AIS. When I first saw a picture of a shopping cart covered with quagga mussels, I found that to be extremely alarming. So, you know, maybe, for example, we should be displaying photos of a popular Tahoe beach before and after a major weekend. I think you need to startle people into the realization that behaviors need to change. And I think the Take Care program is wonderful. And it certainly, as I said, a pretty younger generation. But I'm wondering if we need to be a little bit more explicit with these images. To jar people into the realization that they have an obligation to be mindful of their responsibility when it comes to taking care of Lake Tahoe. So I don't know if you would care to comment.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you'll indulge me, Member Aldean, that's a great question. Julie Reagan, again, from TRPA. Yes, wonderful point. And I do want to build on that to say that the Take Care program is reaching its particular target audiences. But one thing that we may see as part of this discovery in the Destination Stewardship Visioning Plan is that we may need to evolve multiple messages and look at how we can complement multiple campaigns that may target different audiences. One thing we learned, you all will, those of you who supported our Tahoe Coin program for the 50th anniversary of the compact, we were able to generate $100,000 in donations. And one of the donations to the Tahoe Fund paid for a study looking at the barriers and benefits of behavior change. And Member Aldean, what you're pointing out is really important. There's a body of work that really digs in and what will it take to have people pick up that pet waste versus leave a bag on the trail? What will it take to get people to do this defensible space? What will it take to get people to avoid plastic water bottles? Those are three areas that researchers that are deep in social behavioral change research looked at. So that's something that we can follow up on and dig a little deeper. But your point is well taken that it's going to take probably a few different creative strategies and targeted at different behaviors specifically that we want to address. And there are different strategies for some of those different behaviors, but appreciate the question.
Thank you, Julie. One more recommendation. I know there probably are existing programs recognizing people who have demonstrated a commitment to environmental stewardship. But it occurs to me that there are a lot of people out there who are never recognized for their good work. And I'm wondering if we had a program, something like Random Acts of Environmental Kindness, a program that would publicly recognize people who are spotted doing responsive things like picking up other people's trash and have people, because everybody has a cell phone now, everyone can take a picture, you know, and submitting those pictures to, you know, whatever organization can process them, you know, identify the person in question and publicly recognize their good stewardship, even though it may be minor when you look at the broad scope of the problem. It's certainly an indication that there are people out there who are concerned, who are responsible, who are making a contribution, if only in a minor way.
Yes, thank you very much. And our Lake Spirit Awards, Member Aldean, is designed to recognize some of those very things. We've been on a little hiatus during COVID, but I think it's time to bring that back into the fold to really showcase the good work that people are doing, whether it's, you know, picking up trash, and there's been a number of volunteers around the basin doing that. But there are a lot of other heroic actions going on every day, and we don't want to miss those.
Thank you, Julie.
Sue, you have a question or comment. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. And I want to thank you all, Crest, for your presentation, and to Julie, especially for coming down to my neck of the woods, Placerville, via Zoom, to do a presentation, because I think this is incredibly important information, and the idea of sustainable tourism, it just resonates with everybody. Whether you be a permanent resident or a tourist, you don't want to go into an area and create something for reasons that, or for whatever reason, it negates what you're there for. And that is for the beauty of the area, whether that's Lake Tahoe or any other place you visit. So incredibly important. And I recall growing up in California, they had a don't be a litter bug campaign and the, you know, only Smokey the Bear knows campaign. And I'm all for the Take Care campaign because of that. I recall those kind of messages you get when you're young. They resonate, and they resonate not just to the children, but to the children's parents. And I think that makes a huge difference. And I think that's something we're missing statewide, nationwide, is getting this this moral obligation message back to our residents and our visitors, and letting them know that it's important. So, you know, I am all, not only for what our campaign, but I would like to see our states and federal government get back to getting that understanding. Basic understanding is we need to take care of each other as well as our environment. So very important messages, and I want to thank you all for putting this forward.
Thanks, Sue. Scott, welcome back, and you have a question.
Yeah, thank you. So I apologize. I lost audio for a moment there. One thing I didn't see, and I may have missed this in my absence, is the effect of social media on over tourism and the challenges and opportunities that social media might bring to the tourism over tourism, and also the destination stewardship issue, because that's the way the new generation and even the rest of us are communicating a lot through social media. And but you can't look on social media without seeing some beautiful picture of a destination and somebody either promoting that or showing that they're there and having a great time. And just curious as to how that has been taken into consideration.
Yep. Mr. Chair, I'll do a quick reply to that. Thank you, Scott, for the question. What you're hitting on is actually explored pretty deeply in the Overtourism Review in terms of like Instagram and other areas that are really celebrating what once were considered secret spots. And everyone wants to post, and people are taking selfies all over the world and lining up, you know, to take selfies and, you know, next. So the dynamic has shifted with social media. There's no question. So I think there's a lot of different strategies being pursued. That's one of the things we want to look at, you know, but how can we harness it for the positive? We've used social media really effectively in the Take Care campaign through COVID and others. So we'll continue to work to harness that for a positive effect, while at the same time trying to be wary of how that can be used in a way that might be an overuse.
Thank you.
Cody, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you for the great presentation. You know, I when I think of overtourism, I definitely felt the effects. And in the last couple of years, I think more than probably in my whole 25 years here in Tahoe. And I think back to the TAU theory that we had in place that probably came really from kind of the casino days. And the idea that we should possibly apply that to some of the new technology that has taken place in our society, such as VRBO and Airbnb, because it is essentially tourist accommodation units. And with the proliferation of those over the past 5 years, our no vacancy sign essentially almost never turns on because there's always an accommodation in the basin. And I think that theory did work before this technology. And I think the technology just moved fast before a policy could really be analyzed and put in place. But I think that we need to take a look at that when we look at overtourism, is the fact that the TAU theory really, I think, needs to be revisited. So. But thank you. Great presentation. Very informative.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've scanned I haven't seen any other governing board members. Oh, Shelley, you have a follow-up? Or just didn't take your hand down?
Oh, I do, Bill. Thank you. This is a question for Julie.
Okay.
On page 147 of our packet, there's a notation here that collaboration with leading experts in the field and the Tahoe Science Advisory Council. I'm a little confused. And when I think of the advisory council, you know, I think of things having to do with a highly technical nature. How are they going to interface with this effort? Can you be a little more specific?
Sure, absolutely. Great question. Thank you, Shelley. The Tahoe Science Advisory Council is actually chartering a study right now that's really bringing in more of the socioeconomic research and social science research. Tahoe has excelled in the physical sciences for, you know, 50 plus years. We are really looking on the horizon at bringing in more social science experts because human behavior change is about, you know, how we're going to make these kinds of policies implementable in the future. So the Science Council is just launching a study that's funded through the Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act, looking at not only natural resources impacts. We've done some of that in the past, looking at impacts from off-trail use, erosion on the roads from errant parking, that kind of thing, but also really digging in and what getting a better handle on what will create behavior change that will support this more sustainable future, and ultimately leading to an improved way of measuring this in our recreation threshold, Shelley. So that is that study is just kicking off. There isn't even a full scope of work defined at this point, but we recognize, and the Science Council spent a lot of time talking about the need for more social science multidisciplinary experts to join in with the physical sciences to connect, you know, humans and the natural environment together.
So, Julie, are we contemplating changing the composition of the advisory council to include social sciences?
So the council members have been evolving. The member organizations are the same, but new researchers are being brought in. And so the couple of researchers that are being that are commissioned to do this social economic study are new in the space of recent research, you know, in recent history of some of the research. So, yes, we'll be seeing some new folks that are joining our cadre of excellent resource experts and scientists.
Great. Thank you, Julie.
Okay, I think it's time to now go to public comment on this item. And if any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand. And now either by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member.
Thank you. We do have one comment. Steve DeShera, if you'd like to address the board, go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Chair Yates and members of the board, Steve DeShera on behalf of Tahoe Chamber. Another excellent presentation, and I know you all observed the great synergy between this presentation on sustainable tourism, destination management and stewardship, and the prior presentation from the Prosperity Center. There's a lot of common themes here. And what's really great from my perspective and the Chamber's perspective is that these things are coming along simultaneously, because clearly the issue of tourism was prominent in the survey that the Prosperity Center did. Here is a way to address that. So a lot of synergy, particularly on the transportation and affordable housing side, as well as sustainable tourism and recreation as items. And it also kind of relates to the presentation today at the EIP committee, you know, and where we're at with funding for transportation and mobility improvements. These are all interrelated. So, again, I want to commend the quality of the team that has been assembled, the great partnership that has been established around the region, and part of it welcoming Tony Karwowski as the new executive director, president, CEO of the North Lake Tahoe Resort Association. So all of Carol's counterparts around the lake are joining in with this, along with public agencies and other private sector partners, including our chamber. One of our roles is to help get this information out to the community, to our members in the broader community. So we take that role very seriously. So thanks, Dr. Miller and Julie and Carol, for your comments and your presentation today. And we look forward to continuing to be a part of the effort going forward. And thanks to the governing board and the staff for having this presentation on today's agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I think you're right. I think there's a lot of policy overlap in all of what we do here at Lake Tahoe. I think, is that the last public or the only public comment, Maria?
Mr. Chair, there is no further public comment on this item.
Thank you very much. So as all things, when all of a sudden the chair disappears and the vice chair is in Washington, D.C., and they left it up to me, I'm about ready to lose control. But Joanne's going to step in here because we were going to go to item C, but there's some issues. And I think I'm going to turn this back, since this last time was an informational only, to our executive director, Joanne Marchetta, who wants to pose a question to the governing board as to how we proceed at this point.
Thank you, Bill. We had wanted to give the board a short break right now in order to grab a bite to eat. We were thinking 15 or 20 minutes. And what that does is it pushes us up against a we've got a couple things happening. We have one presenter on the Chile Adam that needs to leave by 2 o'clock. That also pushes our recreation center item out later in the afternoon. So I need to ask particularly the California side governing board members whether you have flexibility to stay later in the afternoon and we'll take the agenda as posted. If not, I'd call an audible and we'd simply defer the Chile item until next month. And when you come back from the break, we'll start the rec center item. So it's really a question of the California side members have the flexibility to stay later in today's afternoon.
So I guess California members, raise your hand. You know, who can stay?
One, two.
Go either way.
Three. Is there anyone who can't stay? Let me ask it that way.
So
I have any idea about how long we're talking? Just curious.
So the question, Joanne, is how long do you think this meeting might run?
We'd take the Chile item as soon as we come back from the break, which would be close to 2 o'clock. I imagine that will go about a half hour, so 2:30, and it'll take us probably an hour from 2:30 to 3:30 to get, you know, maybe four o'clock before we get through the rec center item.
My only issue is I'm actually in central time right now, so that's going to be running into like 6:30 or 7. So I don't know if it's not something pressing and just a presentation, if it's possible to push it off. Unless if it's pressing, I would definitely stay if we have to see it. But if it's okay to push it off, that'd be my preference.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the rec center item as soon as you come back from this short lunch break. So it's looking like we'll reconvene at 1:55. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
And we will sounds take right. The rec center item, and I'll deal with staff on the Chile item. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Break until 1:55.
Thank you. Okay, we are jumping straight to item 8 and the Chile matter. We are going to hold off until next month. So, public hearings. Item 8A, new City of South Lake Tahoe Recreation and Aquatic Center, 56-acre tract, 3050 Lake Tahoe Boulevard, City of South Lake Tahoe, California, TRPA file number ERSP 2021-1465, assessor's parcel number 026-050-005. Information on this item can be found on page 201. As a reminder to the public, after staff presentation and board discussion on this item, you may raise your hand in the Zoom webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff to share your comments. At this point in time, I'd like to pass the meeting off to Paul Nielsen and to John Hitchcock. John's with the City of South Lake Tahoe, and it looks like Joe is here as well to present this item. So, Paul, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Paul Nielsen, and I'm the Special Projects Manager at TRPA. This item involves the new City of South Lake Tahoe Recreation Center, and the staff summary can be found on page 201 of your packet. The project includes a new two-story building that will house sports courts, an indoor recreation swimming pool, among other amenities. In addition, the existing parking lot located at the adjacent library will be expanded to accommodate the parking demand associated with the new recreation center. As you will recall, last month, the governing board approved a height amendment to the BGU El Tahoe Community Plan that allowed this project to be before you today. Staff is recommending the governing board make the required findings and approve the project. Today's presentation, which is about 15 minutes, will kick off with Joe Irving, the city manager, followed by Jim Marino, the city's capital improvement project manager, after which I will conclude the presentation. So with that, I'll send it over to Joe.
Thank you very much, Paul. Good afternoon, Chairman Bruce, members of the governing board, Joe Irvin, city manager, South Lake Tahoe, for the record. The city is extremely excited to be here today to talk about the multi-generational recreation and aquatic center located in the 56-acre site in the center of the city of South Lake Tahoe. We prioritize recreation and equitable access for all as a strategic priority that our city council has adopted in our 2021 to 2026 strategic plan. We're committed to providing low-cost recreation programs that are designed to be inclusive of our community. Furthermore, we're committed to building sustainable recreation facilities that serve as a place for all to gather and exercise. When you think about South Lake Tahoe, you often think there's trails abound and park and recreation facilities everywhere, but the reality is there is a factor of park deserts in the city. And going forward, we have a commitment to build park developments and enhance existing recreation facilities to serve the needs of our community. This project is definitely being proposed in a manner that is consistent with the TRPA regional plan. We've been thoughtful in the design process to ensure it has connectivity to existing walkways and bikeways and adjacent neighborhoods. We furthermore recognize that infrastructure improvements like this in the region's most populous community is something that helps us set the stage to be a true community builder, while we work with our regional partners to build this vital asset in the center of our city. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Jim Marino, our capital projects manager, who will walk you through the project details. And again, I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. And we're here to answer any questions after we get through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For the record, my name is Jim Marino. I'm the city's capital improvements program manager, and I'm also tasked with project management for the rec center. Next slide, please. I'd like to take about 10 minutes of your time and walk you through the location, the benefits, and the floor plans and the exterior of this valuable community project. The proposed site is on the northern terminus, what we call the 56-acre project area. That's a 56-acre park in the center of town, comprised of both city and county parcels. Its primary use is recreation. And as you can see, it's bordered on the west and the north by Highway 50, the east and west by residential neighborhoods, Al Tahoe on the west, Bijou on the right, and Pioneer Village on the southeast side. Then all around the project site is either civic or educational facilities such as ball fields, sheriff station, courthouse, environmental middle school, and other educational buildings. So it's a great, great place for this project, and we're pretty happy with the location. Next slide, please. Next, there you go, thank you. So this is some photos of the existing site conditions. This was taken last week, April 18th, so it's current site conditions. And running from clockwise from the top left, it's really a tour around the project site. And as you can see, the site is level, it's flat, there's no topography changes, it's very good soil drainage. I think the water tables are somewhere around 18 to 20 feet deep here. And it's lightly forested, it's pretty cleaned out, and the actual existing site is part of the city's campground. And so for this project, we will be eliminating that portion of the campground, removing the roadways, campsites, utilities and features, and in place building the recreation center. Next slide, please. So the rec center had a huge community outreach, not only with the community, but stakeholder groups as well. We worked real closely with El Dorado County, California Tahoe Conservancy, Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, amongst many others in the town, to get a feel for what this facility should be and what it should look like. And as you can see, we have quite a variety of recreation and community programs that can be programmed into this space. The way we design this facility is to be multi-use. So all of these spaces can serve other functions if needed. Now, of course, natatorium can't be changed much, but it can do various programming features that have to do with aquatics. So if you don't mind, I'd just take you through the building real quick. First floor,
to the upper right, we have a large gymnasium, court gymnasium. In the center, we have our lobby. It's a two-story lobby, so it's a sort of a big, vast lobby gathering area for everybody. Above that, we have our dance and arts and crafts and multi-use space. To the right of the lobby, lower right, we have our admin center and support services. And just above that, between the gymnasium and that admin center, we have a large state-of-the-art commercial kitchen that'll serve El Dorado County Senior Nutrition. Down on the bottom center, we have our locker rooms and changing areas for the natatorium. And then on the left, we have our natatorium itself, which is comprised of a 6-lap competition pool, a recreation pool, lazy river, amongst other common spaces there. Next slide, please. On the second floor, it's a little bit more minimal in design, but we come up through the lobby via a grand staircase and we go left on to a balcony. And we enter into a multi-use event space that then opens up by a series of panel doors and goes out to an outdoor deck, which overlooks the northern portion of the site, which overlooks Lake Tahoe. Coming back across the balcony, we go up into our fitness area, a bunch of fitness and exercise equipment, and then right into a running walking track that circumnavigates the gymnasium. It's a great design by our architect team, and we're very, very happy with it. Next slide, please. So we wanted to bring forth some exterior elevations for you to look at, and here's the east and west perspective of the facility. The east perspective is actually the view you would be looking at if you were walking in from the parking lot. So that would be the entrance of the facility. It's all fire-resistant material, precast concrete panels, cut stone, CMU masonry, cementitious siding board, and vertical and horizontal metal panels, to name a few. And we feel that the earth tone colors really fit into the site very, very well. Next slide, please. Again, some elevations, north and south perspective. The north perspective is looking at the gymnasium on your left-hand side and then the aquatic center on your right-hand side behind the event center. And then the south perspective is just the opposite, the aquatic center on your left and the gymnasium on your right with the lobby and entrance in the center. I do want to point out that the north perspective is really what would be visible from Highway 50 through the forested. We are set back quite a ways from Highway 50, so we have a lot of screening, vegetation screening between the actual highway and that portion of the building. Next slide, please. Next couple slides are some interior renderings. And again, our architectural team did a great job. Wide open spaces, lots of natural light, great earth tone colors, very inviting, especially for gathering, which is one of the design concepts. We want people to come here and hang out for a while, whether it's physical recreation or arts and crafts or a community program or some other use. I think our team did a really good job of creating space that people would want to come into and stay for a while and enjoy themselves. Next slide, please. Again, some interior renderings. These are our portion of our aquatic center and portions of our gym and second floor running track. Again, earth tone colors. We have the blues in there to kind of feed off of Lake Tahoe. We have the greens in there for a forested environment. We have the earth tone quartz and whatnot to feed off the mountain type aesthetics. Soundproofing insulation. And I do want to point out that this facility is designed to be LEED Gold. And so we are moving forward with LEED Gold certification on this facility. So there's a lot of design components, interior and exterior, that really push us to a very, very high sustainability level. Next slide, please. This is my last slide of the presentation, and it's a 4D simulation of the facility when it's done and complete, how it sits on the site. We'll take you through. It's a flyby, but what I want to point out is that this visual simulation is based off of survey data. So the trees that you see here are the trees that will remain in space at the site. And the facility that you see here is actual scaled and accurate to the site. So without further ado, if you would just press play on that video, I'll walk you through it real quick. There we go. Feeding a little slow. But here we are coming into the entrance of the facility, concrete patio, walkway, small plaza area exterior. And now we're moving south along the exterior of the natatorium. You can see the precast panels for the vertical construction there. Moving over to the north side, we have our outdoor deck space, event space, natatorium space behind that, and lobby. And then we're coming back around gymnasium space, admin space, and back around to the entry. And you can see that we've done some landscape on the entry side of the facility, but for the most part, the remaining site will be natural vegetation. And that really concludes my portion of this presentation. And I just want to say that we're available for questions. I have John Hitchcock with the city's planning department here. We also have Chris Vincenzio on the meeting too. He is our architect if you have any architectural questions. And with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Paul Nielsen for the remainder of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Joe. So one of the reasons staff is recommending the board make the required findings is that the proposed project is consistent with the regional plan, specifically the recreation sub-element, goal R7. The goal states the regional plan shall provide sufficient capacity for local oriented forms of outdoor and indoor recreation in urban areas. Language supporting the goal states the specialized recreational needs of the Tahoe resident need to be considered apart from the more general demand of the tourist. And this proposed recreation center will primarily serve the local community. There are other reasons the staff is recommending approval of the project, and I would like to touch on three of those: scenic quality, VMT, and water quality. Next slide, please. As you may know, all the highways in the basin, as well as Pioneer Trail, are broken up into scenic roadway units, which are linear stretches of roadway, each of which has their own individual scenic quality characteristics and numerical threshold ratings. This project is located in a TRPA urban scenic roadway corridor. And as stated in the TRPA code, urban scenic highway corridors are generally urbanized areas where man-made development is the dominant visual feature, which is characteristic of this stretch of 50 through the middle of town. In urban scenic corridors, scenic quality is maintained and enhanced by new development and redevelopment that includes buildings with updated architecture and signage, appropriate color and building materials, and screening of parking lots through landscaping and site planning considerations. This slide shows one of the visual simulations that were prepared for the project. The first thing you may notice is that the building is set back from the roadway and partially screened by the existing trees, unlike many projects we see in urban corridors where the development sits in close proximity to the roadway with limited or no natural screening. A large project area allowed the city to site the building back from the highway to help preserve the character of the view from the roadway. In this view, you can also see the one-story green building located next to the highway, which is shown as being removed in the proposed view. During the review of the project, and as you can see in this simulation, the color of a portion of the building has a light gray color, and it was determined that a darker shade would allow the building to blend in better with the surroundings. And so the city is proposing to change the color to a darker color for that portion of the building. Next slide. This is a view from Lakeview Common Day Use Area, across the street from Highway 50. And you can see the paved bike trail right on the side of Highway 50 in the foreground there. And it is a little difficult to see, but the building, the proposed building, is partially visible in the center background above the cars and the highway. Next slide, please, which shows So this view is less obstructed, and it is taken at the crosswalk where Lakeview Avenue meets Highway 50 at the Lakeview Commons and Eldorado Beach Day Use Area. So due to the large setback, the architecture, the building materials and colors, staff has concluded that there will be no impacts to scenic quality. Next slide, please. Next topic I want to briefly discuss is vehicle miles traveled, or VMT. As you may recall, TRPA now has a new tool for evaluating the level of VMT analysis that is needed for projects that create new VMT. The updated process screens projects from additional analysis depending on its location. This project will generate VMT below the screening level, and therefore the project is screened from additional analysis. However, the city is required to submit a mobility mitigation fee along with other fees such as excess coverage mitigation. I also wanted to mention, and this is a super important point that was touched on earlier in discussions about sustainable tourism, that in addition to the payment of the mitigation fee, the city is proposing to contribute to microtransit operations currently being planned on the South Shore as part of the new Event Center Transit Service requirement. The city's contribution to microtransit is not required as mitigation for the Recreation and Aquatic Center project, but will help to expand the microtransit service above and beyond the service required by the TRPA Event Center permit. So that's exciting for the South Shore, free transit for the first time, South Lake Tahoe, coming soon. Next slide, please. The last topic I want to discuss is water quality. The project area is generally flat, with soils that have good infiltration rates, and groundwater is not an issue at the site. And with the large project area, there's plenty of room to accommodate treatment of the stormwater generated by the project. This is just an example of a typical basin we see around Lake Tahoe. These are passive systems, so they're a lot easier to maintain. And the project will incorporate several of these in the project area. As I mentioned in the staff report, the water quality conveyance, treatment, and infiltration VMPs for the project area are designed to exceed the TRPA standards. As Joe and Jim mentioned, the project is being designed to meet leadership and energy and environmental design standards, which is a widely used green building rating system. And as a result, the stormwater VMPs will exceed typical water quality VMP requirements by 13%. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll hand it back to you.
Great, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. At this point in time, that's a great presentation. And Joe and our staff, city staff, thanks so much for putting it together. Thanks for the project. I know a lot of people have visited the site, the 56-acre site, and are very interested in it and have spent time thinking about it. So at this point in time, I would like to ask my colleagues to weigh in with questions and comments. And when you do, since there are multiple speakers, if you could just try to identify who your question is for, that would be fantastic. And I'm looking, Shelley, you've got a hand up, and we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mark. This is a question for either Joe or Paul. In the visual simulation we just watched, there appears to be some turf near the entrance. I'm assuming that's permeable artificial turf.
Shelley, Ms. Aldean, this is Joe Irvin here, city manager, South Lake Tahoe. No turf, no artificial turf, just natural landscape vegetation.
Okay, so the green expanse we saw was just for visual purposes. It's not an accurate reflection of what will be actually planted there.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sue. It looks like you're up.
Thank you, Mark. I just want to make a comment real quick that El Dorado County fully supports this project. We are very honored and happy to be able to work with the city so well and to make this happen. And I think it just goes to show what government cooperation can do and collaboration and how important it is, because this is for the good of our community, for the entire South Shore as far as, it includes our tourism also. They'll be using this area also. And we have a county library associated with this, and it'll just make everything much more vital. And I think it's really important to point out the city's cooperation and making sure that we create something that is good for all of our community. And El Dorado County, as the landholders, are very excited about this. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, those are the only two hands I see up so far. Go ahead.
Sure, sorry, I'm on an iPad and couldn't get to the raise hand. But I couldn't agree more with Supervisor Novosel's comments. This is such a big thing for our community and is really the center of town and going to be such a great gathering space, and really, expands the recreation opportunities, not only for our locals, but also our visitors. I think there's just been so much community input into the project, and it's going to be super exciting to see it come to life. So this vote today is historical for our community, and it's very, very exciting day. So glad to be here.
Thank you, Cody. Appreciate it. I'm looking. Anybody else with any questions? I think what we'll do is we will go to public comment and then come back and see if there's anything else. So if any member of the public wishes to address a governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. And I'll turn it over to Catherine or Maria, whoever's available.
Hi, Mr. Chair. It's Catherine. I'll help you with public comment this afternoon.
Thank you.
Steve Teixeira, you can go ahead and address the board.
Thank you, Catherine. Good afternoon again, Chairman Bruce, members of the governing board, Steve Teixeira on behalf of Tahoe Chamber. This has been a great process, as Supervisor Novosel indicated. It took a lot of cooperation from the county and the city working together to straighten out the land ownership and responsibility issues for the entire 56-acre parcel. That was done, paving the way for the master plan, which the Conservancy helped to fund, and now this project coming forward before you today. There was a tremendous amount of public input during the process, even with COVID. The city and its partners in the design did a great job of reaching out to the community, again, considered a lot of different perspectives, and have developed this design and the project before you today. So we fully support it. This is a great example of how a project should come forward, and urge your action in a positive way today. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Anybody else, Catherine?
Mr. Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Okay, I will bring it back to the board just in case anyone had a question or comment come to mind during public comment. There you are, Ashley and Shelly. Shelly, do you still have another question, or are you? Go ahead, Ashley.
I just had a quick question because some public comments came in over the course of the meeting with comments about the moving the bathroom location. And I just wanted to hear from the project proponents and developers how they had addressed the public's concerns about moving the bathroom location, how accessible it currently is now versus where it will be in the future. We had a chance to see the project design and it looks great. I just wanted to hear how that was addressed through the public comments.
Thank you. Regarding the restroom, there is one prefabricated restroom structure that will have to be relocated. It currently would be sitting right in the middle of the new lobby if we left it where it is. Our plan is to relocate that restroom about 500 yards to the west. So it is still part of the campground, still part of the whole access zone that it has always served. It's just about 500 yards to the west.
Yeah, and I would just add, You know, the topography is very similar. So accessibility issues, you know, would be the same. Topography is the same, flat, easy access throughout the entire site, really.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ashley. Okay, I don't see any other hands raised. Jump in if you have something. Not hearing anything. It looks like we've got two motions to consider. Pardon me?
Oh, nothing. I was going to offer to put the motion forward if you'd like, Chair.
Oh, yes, please. Scott, go ahead.
This is Cody. I'll put forward a motion to approve the required findings, including a finding of no significant effect, and a motion to approve the proposed City of South Lake Tahoe Recreation and Aquatic Center project subject to the conditions in the draft permits. See attachment B.
This is John Marshall. Can we take those motions independently, please?
Yeah.
No problem. So first, the motion to approve the required findings, including a finding of no significant effect.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have any questions or comments on that? Seeing none, Mari, will you please take the roll?
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Ms. Conrad Seda?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Bass?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, motion passes.
Thank you, Cody. Could we make the second motion?
Forward. Yes, absolutely. I'll put forward a motion to approve the proposed City of South Lake Tahoe Recreation and Aquatic Center project subject to the conditions in the draft permits.
Okay, we have a motion. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, I will ask Maria to please call the roll.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Rice?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Bass?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Ms. Conrad Seda?
Yes.
Mr. Bruce?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great, thanks so much. Okay. At this point in time, I do want to thank again city staff. And I want to thank Joe and this whole team for coming in and helping us with this. And Paul, you did a great job, our staff. And just want to compliment everybody on the project. At this point in time, we are going to move on to reports, item number 9. I'm going to pass this off to Joanne for the executive director report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have no report this month, but I will mention that we did continue the Chile Tahoe partnership off to the May governing board meeting. So we'll bring that item back next month, and I will pass this on to the general counsel report. Thank you.
Yes, and I would like to apologize to the presenters with respect to the Chile item. And we're very thankful that you're flexible enough to come back, because that is a very important item. And I think we're all interested and excited to hear how that works and how that can help Lake Tahoe. John Marshall, General Counsel report.
Thank you. Since we last met, we've had one piece of litigation filed in which were named as a tangential defendant. The board recalls the last October you approved the Round Hill Pines project, and there was a group of adjacent neighbors that were dissatisfied with the move of the entry closer to the entry of their road. And so they have sued under the National Environmental Policy Act, the federal highways and the federal agencies, but have also named NDOT and TRPA as additional defendants. We're hoping to convince the plaintiffs that we are not the right defendants in this lawsuit, since the case is outside the statute of limitations and we're not subject to NEPA. So we'll keep you informed, and if there's any questions, I can answer. Thank you.
Thanks so much, John. Really appreciate it. That brings us to item number 11, committee reports. Anything through from local government and housing?
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you. And nothing from legal committee, from my committee. Operations and governance.
Nothing further. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Shelley. Jim, EI Transportation Public Outreach.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chair. The committee did meet for about an hour this morning. We got a report from the consultants from TRPA staff regarding progress being made on the transportation funding initiative, as well as the report that's due to the Nevada legislature. Just real quick for the board members that aren't part of the committee, there is a consensus regarding between local governments, federal government, and state to come up with a share of $7 million apiece to fund the gap in the regional transportation plan. We heard a report on the priorities, and the committee gave some really good feedback to the consultant and to staff regarding further refinement on being able to articulate the benefits of these projects in order to be able to make the pitch for the funding. And some other fine tuning that's going to need to go in the final report. I do expect the committee to meet again in May. And then this Transportation Funding Initiative report is going to go to our Nevada Legislative Oversight Committee on May 27th. So that's all I have. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thanks so much, Jim. Appreciate that. Forest Health and Wildfire, Bud is not here today. So we will get an update next month. RPIC, Bill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. We had amendments to the shore zone regulations and an amendment to code section chapter 84, which would authorize existing non-littoral homeowners associations buoy fields, and an amendment to section chapter 222, which allows for staff level approval of new mooring buoys on eligible private single family littoral parcels. And those two items were reviewed with our recommendation that will come to the governing board next month for approval of those changes.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Bill. And before we hit our last public comment, is anything else? Does anyone else have any thoughts? I don't see any, so we will go straight to public comment. And any member of the public wishing to address the governing board on any item listed or not listed on the agenda, including items on the consent calendar, may do so at this time. Individuals or groups who have already commented on items listed on the agenda are not permitted to comment on the same topic. The governing board is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public during the public comment period. We'll hear comments on any single topic not on the agenda for up to but not to exceed 30 minutes. We'll hear as many unique comments as possible, and we will hear comments for up to but not more than a total of 60 minutes. All unheard comments can be submitted via email to mambler@trpa.gov and will be forwarded to all governing board members. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand now, either by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. At this point in time, I'll turn it over to Catherine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no hands raised to comment at this item.
Okay, let's give it just like 10 more seconds here, just to make sure. And at this point, I would like to thank everybody for today's meeting. I'd like to thank everybody who made the trip up to Lake Tahoe to check in with TRPA, get more information, connect with staff, enjoy the beauty of the lake and the trees. And I hope your day continues to be as beautiful as it has already. And I would like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, have a great day.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye, all.
Bye.
Thank you.